State lawmakers are taking up two tobacco bills today, one making the University of Hawaii a tobacco-free zone, and another to restrict access to e-cigs to those under 21. We sat down with Jessica Yamauchi, executive director of the Hawaii Public Health Institute, to talk about why it supports the measures.
The issue is that we are continuing to see our youth use rates rise. It is much higher than our tobacco rates. With the latest Hawaii Youth Risk Behavior Survey, ever tried tobacco products in our state for high schoolers is at 42.3%. And for middle school, it's at 27%. So we're really concerned with how many youth are using these products.
And I know there was a time when a lot of these companies were marketing them with, you know, candy-flavored bubble gum just to make them more enticing, I think, for people to try.
Yes. And so e-cigarettes really don't have those regulations. So they do have all kinds of flavors. They're able to advertise on radio, on television. And they've really become quite popular with the youth. They have different kinds of contests that they'll hold on who can make the largest cloud. The popularity of them is something we haven't seen in many, many years.
And the concern is what? Because there are chemicals that are in these vaping, devices, I guess.
Yes. We typically refer to them as electronic smoking devices. But yes, there are many chemicals in them. Most of the time there's nicotine in them. There are many studies that have shown that kids move from vaping to using cigarettes. So that's very concerning. Studies that have found that kids that weren't likely to smoke cigarettes end up using cigarettes because they started with e-cigarettes.
So these bills that are advancing, what can you share with us? What as far as licensing and what you you hope to accomplish?
Yes. So we have a bill that's up for hearing tomorrow on Wednesday in the Finance Committee. And that bill does three things to regulate e-cigarettes. The first is it would require all the wholesalers and retailers of e-cigarettes to pull a license and a permit, a tobacco license and permit. Currently, without this requirement, it makes it really difficult for education and enforcement of current laws that apply to e-cigarette retailers to be enforced. And so we need to make sure that we have an actual database of who's selling these products. So by requiring them to pull a tobacco permit or license, that would help with this issue. The second is it would establish a tax on the e-juice in e-cigarettes. Currently, there is no tobacco tax attached to e-cigarettes. They're the only tobacco product that does not have any type of tobacco tax attached to it. The bill that we have been pushing would propose to tax them the same as other tobacco products, which would be 70% of the wholesale price. And this would just be the e-juice that is taxed. And the third thing would be to limit online sales, and online sales would be limited to someone with a tobacco license.
And so right now, then you're basically saying that a lot of these younger kids, like in middle school, are getting access.
Right.
And they're becoming addicted.
Yes. And so anecdotally, you'll hear from students how they obtain access to these products. A lot of times it's through other youth that have gotten their hands on it. Many of them have purchased them online. That's why one of the important components on this bill to limit online sales is really critical to helping with the enforcement of our Tobacco 21 law. You're supposed to be 21 in order to purchase e-cigarettes as well as tobacco products. But with online sales, without the restriction on e-cigarettes, they're able to usually purchase without any kind of issue.
And cigarette smoking tobacco use has dropped.
Yes.
Over the years.
Yes. We continue to see tobacco use decline, especially among youth. But with the e-cigarettes, the popularity is, like I said, not something that we've seen in many decades. And so it's really concerning. I think the misunderstanding that these are harmless, safe products, I think the marketing that is happening have really worked against the efforts that we've had and successes we've had with tobacco control. And we now need to apply this to e-cigarettes.
So it's really trading one evil for another. It's really the same thing, just a different method of delivery.
Yes.
And so while you're not ingesting it and hurting your lungs,
you're still inhaling.
There's still some hazard there.
Yes.
So the pushback, I would imagine, though, is for some of these companies saying, you know, hey, you're going to shut down our business.
So our intent is not to close down businesses, but to have regulations in place. Again, all of these regulations are regulations that apply to cigarettes. If you sell cigarettes, you have to pull a tobacco permanent license. There is a tax attached to it, and you can't purchase cigarettes online. So all of these three things in this e-cigarette bill already are applied to cigarettes. And so it's really trying to have the same regulations applied to e-cigarettes.
Had you folks tried to do this before in previous sessions?
Yes, we have.
And what's been the stumbling block?
I think so. We've been working on the permanent license for probably about 5 years now, the tax about 3 years. And each year there's one reason or another that it doesn't quite make it through. I think the tax in the beginning was very complicated, and we were really looking to see how other cities and states were starting to do it. I think now there's more model language that can be used, and I think the desire from the legislature is there that it is time. We have not seen a drop in our e-cigarette youth use rates at all over the last 4 or 5 years. So I think everyone knows that we do need to do something or these rates are going to continue to climb.
Is there a particular state that you're holding out as a model that we can use?
There's several. I'd have to go back to look at which one we particularly modeled our language after. And this would just be for the tax portion. But I could go back and check.
Okay. And then there is other legislation, I think, having to do with public housing and the use of tobacco products. But I understand that there's already some federal law in place.
Yeah, so basically the public housing bill that's continuing to move forward is a housekeeping measure to make sure that our state law is in compliance with what HUD rules now require. So HUD requires a 25-foot distance, and our law currently says 20 feet. So it's just trying to bring that into compliance.
Is there anything else that we're doing to educate our youth?
Oh, absolutely. We have staff that do go and do high school presentations and middle school presentations. We have a youth council that we work with that have been advocating for bills. They worked on a bill this year that unfortunately is going to die, but it was the first year it was introduced, and that was going to create a buffer zone around schools that tobacco and e-cigarettes couldn't be sold within 500 feet of a school. So this was the first year we tried that. But to see the youth get involved and learn about the legislative process, to be passionate about an issue is great. And they then influence their peers as well.
That was Jessica Yamauchi, director of the Hawaii Public Health Institute. I'm Catherine Cruz, and you're listening to The Conversation on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. That wraps it up for today, but we throw it back to Pledge Central with Bill Dorman.